Is your microphone muted? Okay, now.
Testing. All right, let me do this one more time. It's so fun. All right. Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, November 8th. It's the morning Portland City Council meeting. Keelan, please call the roll.
Good morning. Maps.
Here.
Rubio. Ryan.
Here.
Gonzalez.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here.
Okay, welcome. And will you please read the decorum?
I will. Good morning and welcome to Portland City Council. To testify before council in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance on the council agenda at www.portland.gov/council/agenda. Information on engaging with City Council can be found on the council clerk's webpage. Presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. A timer will indicate when your time is done. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If you cause a disruption, a warning will be given. Further disruption will result in ejection from the meeting. Anyone who fails to leave once ejected is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may take a short recess and reconvene virtually. Your testimony today should address the matter being considered. When testifying, state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Disclose if you are a lobbyist, and if you are representing an organization, please identify it. For testifiers joining virtually, please unmute yourself once the council clerk calls your name. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindley. Okay, let's go to communication. Keelan, please call the first item.
Item 927, request of David Stein to address council regarding funding alignment for Portland Bureau of Transportation.
I think they withdraw.
I'm here. Sorry, it took a minute. They promoted me to panelist.
Oh, great. Welcome, David. You have 3 minutes and state your name and we'll get started.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is David Stein. I'm a Portland resident, and these comments are on my behalf only. The Portland Bureau of Transportation is facing a budget deficit that, if unaddressed, will strike at the core of what they can accomplish. We need you to act to not only address the deficit this year, but for the years to come. This means approving revenue streams that are decoupled from motor vehicle usage and its many consequences. Most people do not understand how transportation is and is not funded. There are ways to do this that are simple, equitable, and transparent. Implementing a fee similar to other communities in the region and country that is part of the current water and sewer bill is one such option. Allocating the 28% of utility license fees that was agreed upon over 3 decades ago and not once fulfilled is an option that taxpayers wouldn't even notice since it's already in place and would bridge most of the current funding gaps. We should still be charging more for behaviors we want to discourage, as we do for smoking. Taxes on gasoline, fees for parking, surcharges for excess weight, or even permits for studded tires should have a place and not be depended upon as a foundation for essential services. Stopping here would ignore the ugly realities of transportation. People have come to expect that they can drive anywhere and everywhere. This has cost us in dollars and lives. This is now the third consecutive year that we have eclipsed 60 deaths, nearly double the 34 people who were killed when Portland adopted Vision Zero in 2015. Yet there has been no urgency to change the underlying rules around how people drive. It is a rare moment when a driver faces significant legal consequences for killing someone with a motor vehicle, despite speed and impairment being the leading causes of deadly crashes. Both of these factors are active decisions and completely preventable. Right on red is a relic of the 1970s oil crisis, where idling cars was seen as wasteful due to inefficient engines at the time. Times have changed, and we should remove this exception at traffic signals. This sends a message that traveling safely is more important than raw speed. Over the years, City Council has adopted all manner of plans and policies to support walking, biking, and transit. Still, projects past, present, and future are routinely watered down for active transportation at all stages for lack of vocal political support. Building bike infrastructure or road lanes, which improve safety for people walking, biking, taking transit, and yes, even drivers, should bring relief instead of anxiety. So many residents and business owners are used to and oftentimes expect free street parking or extra travel lanes to make driving easier at the expense of safety and efficiency. This is something you will likely hear more of in testimony to follow about the wonderful Rose Lanes on Southwest Capitol Highway that benefit people who use transit and bike, like myself, with drivers only seeing congestion impacts during peak hours. For far too long, leaders have been unaware or unwilling to speak to the benefits of a built environment that is good for people who aren't just driving through an area. Acts of commission have been happening in plain sight and need direct action. The acts of omission, where a status quo that harms us all and has been allowed to persist, must change. Please fund PBOT and support projects that make it safer to get to your destination, regardless of how you travel. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, David. Anyone? Okay. Caitlin, next item.
Item 928 and item 929, they would like to come up together. So I'll read both of them. Request of Don Bach to address council regarding Southwest Capitol Highway Rose Lane project. And 929, request of Chris Braidwood Reed to address council regarding Southwest Capitol Highway Rose Lane project.
Welcome. So why don't we just do the clock at 6 minutes? Is that fair?
Thank you.
All right.
Is Mike on?
Floor's yours. Yes.
Is this on?
It is.
Thank you. Hi, commissioners. Pleasure to be here. And I'm going to speak today about the Capitol Highway Rose Lane. PBOT sought to increase ridership on TriMet buses through Hillsdale. They use the same dedicated lane approach they used elsewhere in the city. They anticipated traffic caused delay would happen in 3 years. In other words, there's no delay at the present time, and there wasn't at the time they did the project. They did not determine the baseline metrics nor estimate the increased ridership their project would produce. It's set a $200,000 budget. To date, they spent $655,000 and still spending. That's 325% of budget. PBOT acknowledged in 2022 the current traffic was not causing traffic delay. The community asked the council multiple times to delay the project for 3 years or until the problem really needs to be resolved. PBOT decided to the elimination of one lane on Capitol Highway is the only solution, and it had to be done in the fall of 22. They did not assess how car dependent Southwest Portland is and will continue to be, and I'll talk about that in a minute. They ignored the fact that Southwest did not have a street network like the rest of the city to take the diverted traffic, and they ignored the fact that many Southwest residents are car dependent since they do not have ready access to transit. PBOT predicted Rose Lane would cause only minor traffic issues. Day one of the project, the time to get from Barber to Sunset went from 2 minutes to 10 minutes and longer. Traffic signal engineers were called in to change the signal timing to improve the situation. They have improved it significantly, thank you. Although we still see traffic back up on Barber, and we have a serious traffic concern, which Ms. Reed will explain. The pedestrian crossing at Sunset and Terwilliger are dangerous the way they're managed now. With the signal changes, we now have traffic flowing much better than it was in the beginning of the project. Southwest Portland Transit has undergone important changes since the pandemic. Southwest Portland has many workers who can easily work from home. TriMet data shows that Southwest has done a much slower bus ridership recovery than the rest of their system. Due to the lack of ridership, TriMet shut down all the express buses to OHSU and the VA. TriMet in 2023 has reduced the scope of their Southwest bus service, resulting in 7% fewer Southwest homes being within a quarter mile of the bus stop. This is a picture, poor picture, because I don't have a color printer, but this shows you the areas of Southwest that no longer have bus service within a quarter mile due to the changes they made this last year. And there's far more of Southwest that is not have bus service and therefore we're car dependent. That's unlike the rest of the city. I've yet to receive TriMet data showing how many homes in Southwest have access within a quarter mile of their home. I suspect it's a very large number. In conclusion, much of Southwest Portland is largely car dependent. The Capitol Highway Rose Lane project is needlessly decreasing the livability of many Southwest residents. And we still do not have data on the bus ridership. Important question. With the improvement of the signal management, do we need the Rose Lane at all? I hope you get good answers to that question. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Chris Reed. I'm a commercial property in commercial property owner in Hillsdale. I come today on behalf of Hillsdale business owners and residents to give you an update on the effect of the Capitol Highway Rose Lane in the Hillsdale Shopping Center. We appreciate PBOT's efforts to mitigate the problems accessing the shopping center and the traffic backups. PBOT's signal management updates have improved the traffic flow somewhat. However, we still are observing evening backups to Barber Boulevard, and we have new pedestrian safety concerns. Recent signal changes at Capitol Highway and Sunset have created a very dangerous situation. Richard Stein of Hillsdale Food Park has observed Ida B. Wells students now having to wait through two cycles of east-westbound vehicle lights for the north-south walk light to display. The additional walk light delay causes the students to worry about missing their bus after school, resulting in many students running across Capitol Highway against the do not walk signal, an extremely dangerous situation. The Rose Lane project continues to cause traffic issues entering Hillsdale. Westbound, the signal change updates have not resolved the westbound peak hour traffic from its backup starting at Barber Boulevard. Eastbound, in May, I reported in this venue a delay entering Hillsdale at Capitol Highway at 4:30 p.m., taking 7 minutes, a drive that should take one. Recently, the same drive at 8:35 a.m. took 9 minutes. Eastbound Capitol Highway TriMet buses are also caught in this traffic, causing a delay getting into their dedicated lane by more time than the lane is supposed to be saving, defeating the purpose of the lane. PBOT added minor striping and pavement markings to guide drivers into the south side driveways. However, drivers are still unsure where they can go with the confusing pavement markings. The new paint does not eliminate the difficult situation cars experience as they exit the south parking lot and try to merge into the east lane or attempt to go to the westbound lane. Contrary to PBOT's recent report, business owners share that road rage and the use of the Rose Lane as a speedway still exists. PBOT has spent up to $656,000 of a $200,000 project that was never needed. The negative impacts on pedestrians and businesses outweigh any positives PBOT may claim. We ask you to stop the wasteful investment in a project that is not needed and continues to have dangerous impacts on pedestrians, neighborhood livability, and our business Hillsdale businesses. We respectfully ask you to please remove the Capitol Highway Rose Lane.
Thank you. Commissioner Mapps.
Thank you, Presiding Officer. Don, Chris, thank you so much for coming in today. I appreciate the feedback on how the transportation infrastructure in this neighborhood is working. As you know, for the past year, since I've had this portfolio, I've been trying to work with this neighborhood to try to fine-tune the Rose Lanes and the turn lanes and everything that we have out there. And I am glad to report, as I think you folks have seen too, we have seen some progress. It seems like more cars are going into the shopping center. We also are seeing shorter travel times going westbound. Actually, you raised a question around TriMet transportation usage. I'm told it is up 19% when you compare spring to 2022 to spring 2023. We're still deeply engaged in this, monitoring it. One of the things I would ask you to do if you have time this morning is to connect with my staff who are back in the room. We have Cynthia and Andrew. Cynthia's relatively new to my staff. She's helping manage the my transportation portfolio. I'd love for her to hear directly from you what your experiences are. And frankly, I think she has some information that you're looking for. One of the things I will commit to you today is that I will continue to work with you to kind of make this space and make this transportation system work better. And I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both for coming. Hey, item 930.
Request of Michael Harrison to address council regarding bicycle infrastructure.
Welcome, Michael. Come prepared. Handouts.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Michael Harrison. I'm speaking on behalf of Portland's bicycling demographic. The e-bike industry is growing. It's projected to reach $118 billion by 2030, according to Allied Market Research. We are only going to see more e-bikes and bicycles on our streets here in Portland. Although I appreciate the minimal bicycle pathways we have, we really need to look into elevated bicycle infrastructure. Elevated meaning physically placed above the ground or conventional car traffic grid. I have an unofficial signed petition with 500 signatures I've collected that I'm delivering in support of a bicycle skyway system. These signatures were collected at the PSU Farmers Market last summer. Generally speaking, the public seems to like the idea of a raised bicycle platform from what I can tell at my petition signing events. Similar infrastructure already exists elsewhere around the world. We should not get too comfortable with our conventional transportation system. There are far too many problems associated with gasoline. As Americans, we waste about $5,000 per year on gas, and we don't need any exploding oil rigs for e-bikes or bicycle infrastructure. There are a few locations in the Portland metropolitan area that can use this kind of infrastructure, which in this case extends for several miles. It can have off-ramps leading to schools, universities, shopping centers, and corporate work locations, as well as to multiple public parks and residential areas. It can increase commercial retail traffic if the off-ramps are nearby. There's a lot we can do to research this kind of infrastructure. I would like to see the city request a preliminary study in conjunction with an engineering firm or discuss this with ODOT. Car sales are decreasing overall. Meanwhile, e-bike sales are increasing. With costs rising, for example, car payments, gas, insurance, and repairs, e-bikes and bicycles are much more affordable for the average consumer, and a bicycle skyway system helps promote that. With elevated bicycle infrastructure, there's no more wasting money on gas or car insurance. It equates out to more cash in the pockets of the average consumer. If you have any questions, there's a lot more information in these signed petitions and packets I'm delivering. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Michael. Okay, item 931.
Request of Portland Advocates for Lead-Free Drinking Water to address council regarding Portland Water Bureau lead crisis. They were going to join online. I don't think they've arrived.
I don't see them.
Yeah, I don't think they're here.
Okay. They come in the next few minutes. Let us know after consent. Let's go to 932.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was?
Why does it say 932? Let's go to consent.
Okay. Yeah. No items were pulled from consent. Matz?
Aye.
Rubio?
Luis Rubio?
I don't think she's on right now.
Looks like. Okay. Ryan?
Aye.
Gonzalez?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Okay. Consent passes. Next item.
Okay.
Is it 932? Is that part of consent?
Yeah. First item on regular, item 940, proclaim November 11th, 2023 to be Veterans Day.
Okay. Yeah. Welcome. I know we have some staff presenting on the Veterans Day.
Commissioner Ryan, I've got just brief introductory remarks if I could.
Oh, absolutely. Take it away, Mayor.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for presiding today. I appreciate it. Good morning, everyone. Our next item is a proclamation honoring Veterans Day on November 11th of 2023. This morning, we're honored to have three presenters to highlight the importance of this day for us. Today, we have Sean Bjornstrom, who is an engineering technician at PBOT. We also have Jeff Selby, who's the director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And we have Jake Dornsblazer, who's a coordinator with our Safe Rest Village team. Welcome, and thank you for being here today.
Take it away.
Okay. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Ryan, Commissioner Mapps, Commissioner Rubio, Commissioner Gonzalez. For the record, my name is Jeff Selby. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm the interim director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And I'm speaking today as an Army combat veteran and an Army brat. As for the Office of Equity, I'm proud to say that our tiny but mighty team has two veterans on staff, and we're both here in City Council chambers today. I'd like to thank the city's Veteran Empowerment Team and City Council for recognizing our warriors today and honoring our contributions to the city government and our communities. I'm proud to be a veteran, and I'm buoyed by the heroes of my Japanese American community who petitioned the government for the right to serve in the US military, even as they were imprisoned by their own nation in incarceration camps during World War II. During my 10 years in the Army, I had the honor of serving with myriad service members, women, men, people of all faiths, and many who identified as people of color, immigrants, queer, and disabled. For a kid from Indiana, serving among such a diverse group of people with a common goal of defending our country was an eye-opener and played an incredibly important role in my equity journey, even though we didn't call it equity all those years ago. The city's veterans are engineers, office support specialists, garage operations managers, administrative specialists, city attorneys, first responders, engineering technicians, wastewater operations specialists, bureau directors, deputy bureau directors, coordinators, managers, analysts, housing inspectors, capital project managers, and so much more. Many of us come to work every day bearing an extra burden of trauma, exclusion, and even healthcare barriers for ourselves and family members on top of other layers of oppression. Navigating the bureaucracy of civilian and military healthcare systems to find gender-affirming care for a family member, for example, is a challenge for one of our very own service members here at the city. So this Veterans Day, during the parade on Friday or on the Saturday holiday, as many people simply and perhaps automatically offer a thank you for your service, I ask that you take a moment to acknowledge our resilience and diversity, as well as the unique barriers many of us face. And perhaps instead or in addition to the well-intended thank you for your service, maybe take a moment and ask, what was your job in the military? Or what are you the most proud of in your military service? Even a simple I see you would be appreciated and perhaps unexpected. So once again, I thank you for the opportunity to speak today and for your continued support and recognition of the warriors throughout our community and city staff.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sean Bjornstrom. I'm an engineering technician with PBOT. I've been with the city for about 6 years, and I was in the military in the U.S. Army, active duty from 2004 to 2009, deployed to Iraq twice. Lately, I've been thinking about the mental health aspects slash needs that are not noticed as service members transition into veterans. Having to go overseas and potentially die for this country leaves a person feeling that they are owed something more than a college education and one day a year. There are effects other than death, lifelong PTSD, depression, and other mental health issues with acronyms I do not know that plague many veterans. A lot of us don't know how to reach for help or don't know that we need help. Each veteran's experience is unique. There might be shared experiences, but each veteran reacts to those experiences in their own individual ways. Veterans Day is a time for me to reflect on relationships and experiences I received from my service. It's a time to recognize veterans as a whole for sacrifices they made to preserve what we call freedom in America. Each veteran's experience is unique. Something every veteran has sacrificed is time. Time away from friends and family. Time is always moving forward, making it a precious resource that should not be squandered. But that time you spend away from friends and family, you spend with the family that grows around you. It's necessary for the relationships built within time of service resemble family. Not only my service, but my life would be different without the family I grew into. Being a veteran is a lifelong connection with other veterans, and Veterans Day always helps me remember that. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Jake.
Thank you, Commissioner, and the rest of the commissioners and the mayor for having us here today. For the record, my name is Jake Dornblazer, he, him pronouns, and I'm the program coordinator for the Safest Village Project. Sorry I couldn't be in person today. I'm a little bit sick, but I wanted to come here anyway. I served 13 years in the United States Air Force. I'm a combat veteran, and I have an 80% disability rating from the VA. I wanted to share some of the information about veterans so that while you're talking to your colleagues and other community members, you know some of the challenges that we have. Veterans face numerous challenges when they leave service. When a member leaves the military, they do not only lose their job, which is usually their sole or primary source of income, but they also lose their housing and health insurance at the same time. For too many veterans, they end up living in unstable environments and are disproportionately impacted by homelessness. On any given night in Portland, 1 out of 10 people experiencing homelessness is a veteran, roughly 500 people a night. I was fortunate when I left the service. I had a home to come back to while I worked through the 2.5 year process it took me to receive my benefits from the VA. One of the most difficult things about the VA system for unhoused veterans is that the primary process to communicate with the VA is through the mail. First you apply online, and then it's all through mail after that. With the VA sending you a letter, giving you 30 days to communicate back to them, and then not giving you a timeline on how long it will take them to respond back to you. For too many of us, the VA doesn't have our records, and we must show them documentation that we were even in the military, or what we did, where we worked, or even any of our medical records. When someone is homeless or is experiencing housing instability, having these documents readily available is almost impossible, let alone communicating with the VA on time. Also, just on a personal note, I want to say, when you're going through this process, you are reliving every interaction with the VA. You are re-talking about your experiences and your, especially for somebody like me who's talking about PTSD, we have to tell them what happened. We have to relive that over and over and over again, experiencing some of the most traumatic things over and over. It's a very hard time. And I have a lot of feelings for our houseless veterans. Lastly, I want to thank the City Council and the City of Portland for being a wonderful place to work, having a flexible schedule, the opportunity to apply for exceptions, and other accommodations to help create an environment where veterans and others with disabilities can have meaningful contribution to their city. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Sean. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Jake. I now will turn this over to Commissioner Mapp. You have your hand up.
Sure. I just wanted to take a moment to thank Sean, Jeff, and Jake for joining us today. I'd also like to thank you for your service to our country and our city. And colleagues, I also want to say this. I am proud to join you in declaring November 11th, 2023 to be Veterans Day. On Veterans Day, we honor the women and men who have served in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard. Now, the first Veterans Day proclamation was signed on November 11th, 1954 by President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Since 1954, Americans have fought in wars in Vietnam, Grenada, Panama, Iraq, Afghanistan, and many other places. And since 1954, the burden of military service has fallen on fewer and fewer shoulders. For example, in 1960, 45% of men in the United States had served in the military. On the other hand, today, fewer than 10% of adults in the United States are veterans. Now, that trend means that fewer and fewer Portlanders have a direct personal connection to a soldier, to a veteran, or to Veterans Day. That's why I'd like to take a moment to remind Portlanders of some of the ways we have traditionally celebrated Veterans Day. On Veterans Day, we thank veterans for their contributions to and sacrifices for our country. On Veterans Day, we salute the military families who support our soldiers. And on Veterans Day, we remember the more than 60,000 soldiers who lost their lives while serving this nation since the first Veterans Day in 1954. And on Veterans Day, we recommit ourselves to a principle that comes from the military, but is also a North Star for those of us in public service too. And that principle is this: leave no one behind. And that's why on this Veterans Day, I want to thank the heroes who devote their time to giving Portland's veterans a hand up. In particular, I want to celebrate the good work done by groups like the Veterans Administration, the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Paralyzed Veterans of America, and the National Association of Black Veterans. I want those groups to know that this council appreciates your service to our veterans and our community. Colleagues, for these reasons and more, I'm honored to join you in declaring November 11th, 2023 to be Veterans Day here in Portland, Oregon. Thank you, Presiding Officer Ryan.
Thank you, Commissioner Mapps. Commissioner Gonzalez.
Armistice Day, that's the history. In
1919. Okay, Commissioner Mapps. Thank you. Commissioner Gonzalez, please go.
I just want to thank the presenters and the mayor for bringing this proclamation forward. Though Veterans Day is observed but once a year, we should all be thankful to each and every day for the sacrifices that veterans have made to our country. At last count, nearly 7% of our city employees are identified as veterans. I'd like to thank our city employees for their service to our city, their sacrifice for our country. I'm honored each day to work with public safety bureaus. There are many amazing veterans on the front lines to tackle our city's most challenging crisis here at home. I'd like to specifically call out bureau leads like BOAC Director Bob Kazi, PBEM Deputy Director Chris Carey, who just had to leave for a meeting, in addition to PBEM Emergency Operations Analyst Jeff Perkins. Chris and Jeff are both here and were here in person today, and I want to thank you both. I'd also like to call out the service of my brother Paul, my sister-in-law Michelle, who both served two tours in Iraq after graduating from West Point, my tio Hernan, who served in Vietnam, and my cousin John Ethan. Acknowledging that veterans often lack adequate support once they return home is something we need to be reminded of consistently. They are a vulnerable group and deserve better than ending up on our streets, which too many times in our history has been the outcome. We need to prioritize this segment of the unsheltered population as a city, as a state, as a country. For now, I would like to just repeat thank you to all of Portland's veterans, to all of our city employees that have served. We all owe you a great deal of debt, and I'll support anything I can do to help you pay this back. Honored to support this proclamation, let's all find meaning this holiday and encourage all Portlanders to thank those in their lives who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gonzalez. I want to say a few remarks. I want to thank you, Jeff, for your leadership in the city in general and for your remarks. Sean, good to meet you, and thank you for your remarks. And Jake, I especially want to appreciate your sentiment about our veterans whom are homeless, a priority audience for us to house for sure. It's important to be mindful and reflect on the service and sacrifice of so many of our fellow Americans, Oregonians, and city employees on this day and every day. If you don't know a veteran, I urge you to ask your friends, colleagues, and families. You'll no doubt discover this web of current and former service members that actually are in your life with stories that might seem like exotic tales or simply reflect the hardship that these men and women and their families endured to protect our country and help our citizens live safe and healthy lives. I was curious, so even within my own office, we can count 20 service members, family members of people whom are in my office without even moving beyond the primary family. And so current and former service members are with us in all aspects of our life. And as mentioned by Commissioner Gonzalez, it's 7% of our city workforce. So again, thank you for your service to our country and to continuing your public service here with our city. I could go on about all the relationships in our office, but it was just fascinating to see how many of us were raised by veteran parents. And I've just known my own family. Five of my six brothers served in the Air Force and Navy. And each person on our staff had someone in their family who was a part of our armed forces at one time. I also want to say that it's really important to acknowledge the spouses and the family members of those who've served. Just within my own family, I know my brother in particular, when we both lived in the Seattle area, how often his wife was left alone raising the children while they were on long deployments he was on a sub, and it would just be like months where they were gone. And so I really noticed the sacrifice that spouses and children also face. Finally, I also want to say that we have a chance to celebrate Veterans Day here in Portland by attending the parade this Saturday. It's at 10 a.m. It begins at MLK and Beach Street. It goes north to Emerson, where there'll be a vendor and resource fair that will take place. I hope that all of you can join in that celebration this Saturday. On behalf of my office, myself, thank you, veterans, for your service and for your sacrifice. And so now, well, it's a day of remembrance. So we will now turn this over to the mayor, who will also read a proclamation. Thanks,
Mark. Great. Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate it. And thank you, Jeff and Sean and Jake. Great comments. And it's really important for us to be able to see that veterans aren't only our coworkers, they're our friends, they're our neighbors. In many cases, they're our family. And it's just frankly invigorating to have you come forward every year and help us with this important proclamation. It's also important, as my colleagues pointed out, that veterans continue their service to our country. I've always believed personally that people who seek military service tend to be people who believe in their country. They tend to be people who believe in their community, and they believe in being active in supporting their country and their community. And I'm really very, very happy that we have as many veterans as we do serving the city of Portland. I'm not surprised, though. Public service seems like it's a natural fit for those who have worn the uniform previously. So thank you for that. I also just want to say this. As much as we appreciate Veterans Day, and this council celebrates it every year, and we're honored to do so, what my colleague said earlier about making sure it's not a one and done, that we should celebrate our veterans every day of the year, not just on Veterans Day. But I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for your service to the city of Portland. And it's now my honor to read the proclamation on behalf of the city council. Whereas an act approved May 13 of 1938 made the 11th of November of each year a legal holiday and was known originally as Armistice Day. And whereas in 1954, after World War II and the Korean War, the 83rd Congress amended the act by replacing armistice with veterans. And the first Veterans Day proclamation was issued on October 8th by Dwight D. Eisenhower to pay homage to all veterans who've contributed to the preservation of this great nation. And whereas the brave members of our Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Space Force, and National Guard exemplify steadfast and selfless commitment while risking their own lives to ensure the freedoms for all of us. And whereas the wounded and suffering military members and veterans who return home honor us with their dignity, their courage, and valor. And whereas veterans deserve the utmost respect and support, which they have earned while defending our homeland. And whereas we admire and support the families and the loved ones of those who've served and who currently serve, and the immense burden that they collectively bear. And whereas veterans make up almost 7% of the city of Portland's workforce. And whereas we are continually grateful for the freedoms we enjoy in Portland and all across the United States, thanks to the service and the sacrifice of our warriors. Now, therefore, I, Ted Wheeler, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim November 11th, 2023, to be Veterans Day in Portland, and encourage all residents to honor those who've served and who currently serve to preserve our values of justice, freedom, and democracy. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, presenters. Appreciate it.
Can we get a photo?
Absolutely. Let's take a 2-minute break for a photo. Okay, we're back in session. And let's go ahead and read item 941, Keelan.
Declare as surplus city-owned property at 3737 North Emerson Street and adjacent recreational lot and authorize a public sale of the property.
Commissioner Mapps.
Colleagues, I'm pulling this item back to my office.
Okay. Item 942.
Replace sewer user charges code to streamline and align with rate study recommendations.
And Commissioner Mapps.
Colleagues, I'm pulling this one back to my office.
All right, we're up to 943. Please read.
Approve findings to authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding requirements and authorize use of the alternative contracting method of construction manager, general contractor for the Columbia Boulevard wastewater treatment plant, wet weather clarifier, and hypochlorite system modifications project for an estimated amount of $63 million.
Okay, Commissioner Mapps.
This is the second reading.
Oh, this is the second reading. So, Keelan, please call the roll.
Mapps.
Aye.
Rubio. Gonzalez.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
Okay, item 945. Oh, wait, 944.
Yep. Thank you. Authorize competitive solicitation and contract with the lowest responsible bidder and provide payment for construction of the Sheridan Trunk Work Zone 3 project E11008 for an estimated cost of $1,652,000.
This is a second reading. Colleagues, any questions? Okay, Keelan, please call the vote.
Mapps.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
Item 945.
Authorize competitive solicitation and price agreements for on-call green stormwater infrastructure maintenance and irrigation services for $12 million over 5 years.
This is also a second reading. Colleagues, any questions? Keelan, please call the roll.
Mapps.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
946.
Authorize solicitation and execute multiple contracts required to implement advanced metering infrastructure and a new customer engagement portal for city utility accounts for amount not to exceed $76 million.
It's a second reading. Colleagues, we're good. Okay, Keelan.
Mapps.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Wheeler.
This is fun. Aye.
item 947.
Authorized contract with HDR Engineering Incorporated for consulting services to support participation in a Federal Energy Regulatory Commission relicensing process for the Portland Hydroelectric Project in the amount of $2,833,575.
There you have it. Another second reading. Colleagues, any questions? If not, Keelan, call the roll.
Mapps.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
Okay, that concludes our morning session. We'll be back at 2 p.m. and this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.